you've been with us for the last term, we've actually been unpacking what it means to follow Jesus. And I've absolutely loved going through this series. Last week, I got to say, really enjoyed Josiah as he brought a message on taking up the cross. And what that means, like to be able to actually take on board being ridiculed, what does it mean to actually be seen with a cross? And really challenged me. The week before, Beck shared about dropping everything for Jesus. Let the dead bury their own dead. Those really strong statements. And how do we do that as Christians? But leaving everything behind for Jesus. But today, I'm actually going to bring a message which I think is most terrifying of all Jesus' teaching. Scarier than any of that. You ready for it? Today I'm talking about telling other people about Jesus. Ah! Freaks us out, doesn't it? Truthfully, it's probably one of the scariest things. And often when we hear the word evangelism, we just go, oh my gosh, right? Isn't that the pastor's job? That's your job, pastor. Wrong. Evangelism, getting out there and sharing Jesus. And I want us to unpack this because Jesus calls us to do this, but we get really uptight and scared and freaked out about this on a daily. It's interesting. You know, we can sing in here like, shout Jesus from the mountains. And you're like, yeah. And you walk out there and I'm not saying anything. My lips are sealed. Not going to say anything, right? And so it's so interesting that we can be in this place and we're kind of like, yeah, go out the doors. No. Not me, that's the pastor's job. I don't want to do that. And maybe that's because like we've had some bad experience, right? Maybe you've experienced a follower of Jesus that didn't like, you know, it wasn't a great experience. And you're like, I can handle that, but if I introduce my friend to that person, maybe they can't. And so that stops us from sharing Jesus because we don't want them to have a bad experience. Other reasons I think we don't share Jesus is because like, what's the old saying? At dinner, don't share two things. Don't talk about politics and religion, because we just don't want to do that. Don't want to cause offense. Don't want to bring up something. You know, it's like, I'll just pass the mashed potatoes. Shut up. Okay. Like, let's not talk about religion out of courtesy because we think we might cause offense. And, you know, if you've been in church for any time, you'll know that sometimes we do experience some bad things. Like, maybe if you've brought someone today, you're sitting there going, gee, I hope this message is good. Don't talk about money. Don't talk. Like, you know, you have these moments. God, please be good. I got to be honest, I've had those experiences, bad experiences with people that claim to be followers of Jesus, and it stops us from opening our mouth and telling people about Jesus. In fact, I remember in my late teen years, I walked away from God, walked away from the church because I was following leaders in church, not following Jesus. And they let me down. And in fact, one of my mates wore this shirt that I wish I could get. Like, I loved this shirt. And for a long time, I really wanted to buy one. It literally said, Jesus, save me from your followers. How terrible is that? But I loved it because I'm like, yep, I agree. Love you, Jesus. Just don't like your followers. Now, even Gandhi said it. This. He actually said, I like your cross, but not your Christianity. Gandhi continued, I believe in the teachings of Christ, but on the other side of the world, they do not. I read the Bible faithfully and see in Christendom that those who profess their faith are pretenders. It's so interesting, fascinating story about, yeah, I love you, Jesus, but the followers, I'm not so sure. And I know that struggle can be real. It can stop us from sharing Jesus with those around us for fear that they might experience something you don't want them to experience. And throughout my life, I've seen this time and time again, and this is why we actually do this Follow Me series, because if we all outworked the ways to follow Jesus like we've talked about in this last 8 odd weeks, then I actually believe people who experience those followers of Jesus would experience an amazing thing. When you actually follow Jesus, you outwork his teaching, people will experience the fruits of the Spirit on a daily basis. They'll experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Ultimately, those that follow Jesus, they actually follow him. They don't just profess him. Then people can't help but experience an amazing God. However, I think at times we don't share Jesus also because we know we fall short. We're like, I'm not a great representative of this Jesus thing. So I keep quiet because I fail and stuff up all the time. I remember in high school, my mates weren't Christians. And I remember going on this camping trip. I was the only Christian on the trip. And we went on this camping trip to Somerset Dam. We were there for a week. We went fishing. We took a tinny with us. We had some oars. We didn't have a motor. We just had some oars. And obviously, I'm quite short. And my mates all in grade 12 were 6 foot something. And on this one day, we actually decided, well, the boys decided to row to the other side of the dam. They said, let's go over to the other side of the dam. And so the big guys are like 6'8" and muscly, roll us across the other side. And me and my other friend, who was a bit smaller, we're sitting there watching this happen. We spend a day over there. And then the guys on the other side, at the end of the day, the winds are picked up too. And they go, you guys can row back. And I was like, this is terrible. Like, we're like, are you kidding me? They're like, we rowed all the way here, you can row back. And we were rubbish at rowing. I was weak and small, and so my friend was rubbish at rowing. And I remember being in about the middle of the dam, and my mate got so angry and frustrated because we're rowing two forward and one back and just getting stuck. My mate gets so angry, he hits the water with this oar, and it snaps in half. And I lost it. Like, I lost it in the middle of this dam. I mean, there was colourful language. I ranted. I was so angry. The boys had given us a hard time. And after I lost it and sort of, you know, let go of all my inner anger, I remember so clearly one of my mates and goes, he literally looks at me and goes, real good Christian. Oh, ever been through one of those moments? You're like, I've represented pretty well. Now I've lost all credibility. Like, I've lost it all. I mean, it hurts. Remember, they literally dropped us off on the edge of the dam away from where we were camping. I just like, let me off this boat. And I walked and trudged around. By the time I got back, they were still stirring me, egging me on. Oh, you settle down, Az, right? Good old Christian. The reality is, if you're someone like that, that's failed in your Christianity, hey, you're in good company. Because we all have. In fact, even the early disciples, those that were with Jesus, God himself, failed on a regular. They say things like, Jesus, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Then they run away. Jesus is trying to pray in a garden. He says, please don't sleep. Pray for me. They're like, we won't sleep. 3 seconds later, we're asleep. But what I love about following a leader like Jesus, he just keeps forgiving. He never stops forgiving. There is not one point where he goes, I'm done with you. I'm not forgiving you. He's like, start again. I love you. I forgive you. And that's what I love about following Jesus as an incredible leader. He forgives, he forgets. And then when we stuff up again, he says, start anew. You know, throughout my life, I've met some interesting Christians. Remember when I was in radio years ago, I met this band that were doing really big stuff. They were on Triple J. They were starting to get some real notoriety. And I knew they were Christian guys. And I interviewed them. And then I remember off air, I was talking to the lead singer because they didn't want to be known as a Christian band. Even though they're all Christians, the songs that they sang about were the wrestle between God and man. And I was like, well, why don't you want to be known as a Christian band? And then this guy spoke up. He's like, well, as we play in pubs and clubs, we like to meet people where they're at. And a lot of Christians have issues with that. I went, okay. And he said, as I live to follow Christ, not please Christians. And I was like, that's awesome. I live to follow Christ, not please Christians. And then I also realized something that was kind of sad in that moment, because they had decided that we'd do this better and they weren't connected in a church community and there was no grace for those like you and I that stuff up every day. So there's a bit of like a pendulum swing. Like, where do we land here? How do we find the balance in all of this? And today I want to share how I personally went from loving a shirt that said, Jesus, save me from your followers, to a guy who's up here saying, you need to follow Jesus. And I want to get to that later on, because the reality is, if you believe that Jesus died for your sins and was resurrected 3 days later, we're all called to share that good news. We're all called to share that. And I want to read a passage of scripture. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead. I always find this really fascinating. Imagine hanging out with a guy who was dead for 3 days and now he's just with you. Like, it's weird. But Jesus is with his disciples. It says this, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This can sound very religious, but it's actually quite simple. What Jesus was saying in this moment to his disciples, he's like, hey boys, go and tell everyone about me and my teaching. Go and share every part of my teachings. Go and invite people in. Invite them into the good news that God loves them so much that he died on their behalf and rose again to show us that death is not the final moment, but just a doorway to an eternal life. Baptize them into a new life. Leave the past behind. Follow me. That's the gospel. And he says this to them. But today, I want to share this, and I think we can all be susceptible to this. We've fallen into a trap that has stopped us and has shut our lips from sharing the good news. And I believe that trap is falling into the trap of religion. Maybe you don't even know you've done it. Maybe you don't even realize you've fallen into the trap of religion, even if you come here every week and you feel like, no, it's relationship. Maybe you've fallen into this trap. Maybe you've forgotten that the reason you can live free from sin and shame is because of Jesus and what he did on the cross and through his resurrection. And it actually has absolutely nothing to do with you and your actions, that God loves you. Just like my mates expected a certain behavior from me on that boat, maybe we've fallen into that same kind of trap that we expect something of others. And yes, faith without works is dead. But the works is an overflow of understanding what God has done for us. We cannot work our way to heaven. Romans 3:20, 22 to 24 says this, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we have become conscious of our sin. In other words, you can't work your way to heaven. In fact, our works kind of highlight that we're sinners because we keep failing. It says this in verse 22, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. If you got caught up in doing works to gain God's acceptance, you've missed it. We're only seen right in the eyes of God because of what Jesus did through the cross and resurrection. That's it. It's our faith in Jesus that allows us to do what is right with his Holy Spirit as our helper. One thing I've noticed with those that follow Jesus, they go silent when they fall into the trap that is working their way to heaven. We go silent because every day we know we fail. But those who truly understand that God's love is a gift and a free gift to receive, man, they open up about Jesus constantly. They're sharing Jesus all the time. In my opinion, the greatest evangelists are those that have received that free gift. They know the weight of their sin and what their past life was. And when Jesus comes in and changes them from the inside out, they just can't help but talk about it. They are overflowing with the goodness of God. And they're like, you got to come and see the Jesus that changed my life. You know, those that understand what God has done in their life, they're the evangelists. You know, I shared a few weeks ago about my neighbor Bob. My neighbor Bob, who was a murderer, who came to Christ, and then he shared with his niece, Christ. She was an attempted murderer, got out of jail. They both became Christians, life completely transformed. Bob never shut up about Jesus when Jesus came into his life. Why? Because he understood the weight he was under, and he understood the freedom that Jesus brought. Now today, you might think to yourself, but Az, I'm not an evangelist. You're an evangelist, Az. I know you're an evangelist. You like to talk. It's an extrovert's job to be an evangelist. Wrong. Wrong. Believe it or not, you're all evangelists. Truthfully, you're all evangelists in some kind of way. If you didn't know what evangelize means, it means to tell someone about something that you want to convert them to, okay? So in other words, we have evangelists all over the place. We have Netflix evangelists. You know, there's people that have seen, what are you watching on Netflix? Oh, have you seen the Tinder Swindler? And they start talking about the shows. And they're like, you got to see it. Netflix evangelists, they're everywhere. I've met quite a few cryptocurrency evangelists. Normally they're male in their 20s to 30s. Oh, they'll tell you about how you could be a millionaire. Oh yeah, they're good evangelists. Well, what about the Tupperware evangelists? It's not plastic, it's polymer. It'll last your whole lifetime. You can run over it in your car. Your spaghetti's still safe. There's the holiday evangelists. I love these people. They've been to a location and they never shut up about it. Greg, if you're listening, one of my mates is the Hamilton Island evangelist. Like we... These are good friends of ours on the Gold Coast. I'm just going to say hi to Greg on the podcast if you're listening. Because truthfully, for 2 years, Hamilton Island is the greatest place to go, Azenbeck. You have to go. You have to go. Finally, we fell into it. We were like, we'll go with you, right? And even when we're there, like we're trying to eat breakfast. He's like, isn't it the greatest breakfast you ever had? Isn't that view the greatest view you've ever seen? You're like, just let me enjoy my cereal. The Hamilton Island evangelist. You've all had them. I've got to admit that I am the ultimate food evangelist. Man, if I have a good meal, I'm telling everyone about it. Like, I've been evangelizing the Turkish restaurant in Cleveland for the last few months. It's really good. It's really good. Stumbled across it. And I'm like, I'll be here every week. More kofta, please. Like, you just, like, honestly, we are evangelists. The great question, though, when was the last time that the overflow of your heart was to evangelize about Jesus? Is he on your lips where you're like, oh man, I got to tell you about it. I got to tell you about it. Does Jesus actually hold that kind of place in your heart? You know, the reality is we're still talking about Jesus today because for 2 millennia, people's lives have been so radically changed by Jesus, we're still talking about it. We are still talking about it. It is still the greatest news ever that God, in his loving mercy, came on a rescue mission for us. In our broken mess, he went, I'm going to go rescue you. You don't have to work your way to me. I'm coming to you. And when you deserve death, I will take the punishment for you so you can live a free life. It is the greatest message, the greatest message. And what I love about the message of Jesus, it's carried by people from every different walk of life. Jesus doesn't discriminate. He touches and changes people from every walk of life possible. The truth is that when you've been radically changed by Jesus, you want to tell others about him. And I want to share a story from the Bible today that I find absolutely fascinating about a guy that receives his miracle, and Jesus tells this guy to not tell anyone about how he's been healed, and he just tells everyone. Like, imagine God saying, like, literally to your face, don't do it. And you're like, I'm doing it. It's like Beck just going, I'm getting baptized in the river. But this is this story. I love this story. It comes from Luke 5, 12 to 15. It says, Jesus heals a man with leprosy. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but instead go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And the reason for this is Jesus could no longer go into the towns. We read this story again in Mark 1, 43 to 45. It's even more down the line about how this guy just went and told everyone after Jesus said, don't do it. It says this, Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. Imagine a strong warning from Jesus. See that you don't tell this to anyone. But go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Because of this one guy Jesus couldn't go into towns and cities because he didn't keep his mouth shut. But I got to be honest with you. If I encountered Jesus like that, understand this. If you're a leper, you're an outcast. You can't go anywhere. You're condemned for life because there's nothing to heal your leprosy. You've been separated from your family, your community, everything. You've lost it all. And I can just think about this leper, and as he got his healing, can you imagine your whole life is broken and in a moment Jesus restores you? And Jesus says this, don't tell anyone. And as you walk away, you're completely restored and you've got to weigh up a few things. You think to yourself, my entire life has been rescued. I can be silent or I can tell my friends who are also broken. I want them to have what I've got. And you go, stuff it, I'm telling everyone. And this is what happened. The evangelist, he starts telling everyone. Everyone. Sometimes I think Jesus might have been using reverse psychology. Maybe it was just a bit of a challenge, who knows? The reality is though, those that have received a gift from God for free that has changed them so radically cannot help but share. Cannot help but share. And the question is, are we a church that has an overflow like that where we can't help but share the goodness of God in our life? You know, we talked last week about this wall that's going to be moved. And just so you know, we're not moving that wall so everyone gets a road so they can lie down in. This isn't to create more comfort for you, unfortunately, if you're thinking that. We all get a row. Might have a sleep in the back row. The reason we're opening that wall up is because I believe there's people that need to meet Jesus. You need to invite them. You know, we're still looking for builders and chippies and tradies to do that, to move that wall. We're not inviting people into a place of religion. We're inviting people into a place of restoration. A place where you can get a second chance, a place where you can hear the good news that even though your life might be broken, Jesus is in the business of restoring the broken. He's in the business of making beauty from ashes. He will give you a fresh start. You know, the reason we're moving that is for 120 extra chairs per service so that people can hear about the good news and a good God that came on a rescue mission out of love for us. I know when a church becomes stagnant, I know when the fire goes out, it's when people no longer feel the need to invite. Because we've replaced this adoration for Jesus, this thankful adoration with religious duty. And we come to church to get our hit. Elevation, let's never be that church. Now, one of the first messages I shared in this place about 18 months ago was about how there's always room at the table with Jesus. There's always room for one more seat, one more place with Jesus. It doesn't matter where you come from, there's a place for you. Imagine if we were constantly focused on the Great Commission. Actually going out and making disciples. You know, this church, we're serious about that because we just wrapped up our prayer course. It was happening on Sunday nights. We had like 30 to 50 people come and grow in their faith walk with prayer. And I just love that kind of thing. Next term, we're going to run Alpha again. And you know what? That is an amazing place to bring people with questions. Invite your friends. Invite those in your community. Say, come with me. Don't just say, hey, you should go to that. Say, no, come with me to that. I want you to learn about the thing that has changed my life. Grow with them as well. We have baptism and Easter services. This is a place where people can hear about the life-giving message of Jesus. The beauty of Jesus. Some of you are sitting there going, but I'm not an extrovert. Doesn't matter. I don't have a spiritual gift of evangelism. Wrong. It's just obedience to responding to Jesus. You know, I must admit that I fall into this trap as well of not sharing Jesus. And sometimes you build these relationships with people. Like you probably have some people in your world. I reckon you could think of someone straight away. People in your world that could be neighbors or friends or people in your community. It could be street neighbors where you literally every Christmas they come over for a Christmas drink or they come over for a barbecue or you're just really in this great friendship and relationship. And you might have been in that relationship for a decade and you've never shared Jesus with them. And it kind of gets a bit to the point where you're like, well, I've kind of gone too far. It's going to be weird trying to bring this up now. And I shared briefly this story that Beck actually told me about. Rick Warren, a famous preacher, actually talked about this. And he said, look, if you're trying to figure out how you can bring up a topic you've not brought up for a very long time, let me give you a tip. He said, instead of trying to make it super awkward, like you're pouring out a glass of red wine and going, oh, that's the blood of Christ, I want to know about Jesus. Like, you know, instead of trying to link, pass me the bread of Christ. You know, like you can't, maybe for once just actually acknowledge that you've missed it and just say sorry to your neighbor. He talks about saying, you know, maybe your neighbor's name is Jim. Hey, Jim, I want to apologize. And they'll probably be like, what over? I go, I've realized we've been friends for 10 years and I've never shared the most precious thing, the most precious thing to me with you, my faith in Jesus. You might have seen we're not around on Sunday mornings. Because it means so much to me. It's changed my life. And in a time where there's pandemics, wars, fuel prices that make us cry, I'm so thankful for Jesus in my life. And I'm just sorry I've never shared it. If you ever want to know anything about God, I'd love to be able to share with you or pray with you, whatever you need. Now, here's the thing. If you step out into a moment like that, you could have two responses, like Jim or your neighbor might go, yeah, thanks, mate. All good. It's fine. Or you might have a neighbor that goes, I want to know so much more, and they just open up. What I've noticed in recent times in conversations with people, people are hungry to have a conversation, and they're waiting for you. They might have even seen that you go to church, and they go, they're so different. I love what they do with their family. I love how they do things differently. I just see they've got something on their life. What is that? And they're just waiting for you to invite them in. As I said, I actually find this really hard myself. Like, sometimes I get on a plane, and ever since becoming a pastor, it's very different for me, right? So you get on a plane, you sit down to the person next to you, and they always go, where are you off to? What do you do, right? And so it's very tempting for me just to go, oh, I speak in schools. I do a whole bunch of stuff on leadership, and that's what I do in the week as well. And but do I have the courage to say, I'm a pastor? And trust me, when I go, oh, I'm a pastor, people, ah, I'm melting, right? Yeah. And people have these ideas and they can sometimes shut off. They're just like, oh my gosh, what have I just opened up here? I'm not religious, nor am I. And so in recent months, I've just been really challenged by God to go, I'm just going to share it wherever I can. Even if the response is not something that is what I'd like, even at my complex lately, I was talking to our builder just the other day and something came up about his childhood and he was moving on. And then I mentioned, he said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor of a local church just down the road. And he goes, there's a church just down the road. I said, yeah. And he goes, really? Where? I said, right next to Mitre 10. He goes, is there? I said, yeah, there's about 400 people there. 400 people? I go to Zarafa's all the time. So he has this great kids ministry and he goes, oh, I used to go to kids church when I was a kid, and starts opening up about how he's got a kid and oh, I'd love to be in a community like that again. I said, hey, you should come along. And whether he does or doesn't, he lives further south. And but the point is, he had no idea we were here. Then it made me realize we could be the best kept secret in Cleveland. Truthfully, I haven't met one person in the last 18 months that's come here who's received Christ, decided to follow Jesus, get involved with community and serve, who hasn't been better off for it, who absolutely enjoys it, loves it, and their life is better for it. No one knows it exists. And I remember when I said, oh, it's about 400 people. He's like, 400? I thought you were going to say about 30. I'm like, yeah, it's 400. But then God hit me and went, 400, there's 120,000 people in your area. Clap, clap, as. Let's not get proud. Let's open a wall and make more room. Let's see people come to Jesus. So my builder had a conversation with him. Then all of a sudden my gardener opened up about God. And he has faith and he's been on a journey. Then he wanted to talk about end times. Great. I said, yeah, Jesus is coming back. You might as well get ready. Even the other night, I'm in emergency, 3 a.m. I'm out the front, my knees bung, and there's a lady sitting outside, a nurse, and she's listening to like a preach on her phone. It's really loud on speakerphone. I thought, this is a great opportunity. I said, oh, you like listening to stuff about God? She goes, yes, let me talk to you. And she grilled me. It was a terrible experience. I couldn't order my cab fast enough. Hey, she's in my face. You know. But the thing is, sometimes evangelism doesn't work. And sometimes it's terrible. But you know what? We are called to share Jesus. I invited her here. I don't think she'll come. Oh, so funny. The truth is, though, we're all called to share Jesus. And we talk about this follow Jesus or follow me. You can't follow Jesus without sharing Jesus. To follow Jesus is to share the good news that God loves you and He came on a rescue mission for you so you don't have to live in your brokenness. You can actually be restored to everything God had for you from the beginning. That's the good news. This week, I want to challenge us all to be brave in sharing Jesus. Can't wait to meet your neighbours. Can't wait to meet your workmates. I can't wait to meet your barista, your gym partner. I can't wait to meet the person you met on a plane. Because each and every person needs to know Jesus. Let's pray.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.